recur due to technical laziness. We have no intro music. This is a zombie plague. Now watch the show. Hey, I said it was technical laziness. Am I right?
They haven't got mops.
That too. And I'm not too sure exactly how to run the music through this. I'm learning. Slowly. At least I didn't blow up the station.
Yet.
You didn't crash the box and you managed to go live without any problems. You're one step ahead of are you?
So, this is the Nameless Review Show. I think this is the 7th episode of the new season, or when I started actually recording again.
So it's the Nameless Review Show 7, Episode 7.
Yes, and now it will be permanent Episode 7 with fractions.
Again.
And versions. And everything else I can think of before we get to Episode 8.
Just make sure you follow the Minecraft thing and do some pre-releases.
I suppose maybe we should review the game that came out last Friday. What do you think?
What game was that?
I don't know. Something with dragons.
No, Dragon Age was ages ago.
So, for those living under a rock, Skyrim came out on the 11th of the 11th of the 11th.
Which probably explains why there aren't any live listeners now that I think about it.
Yeah, right. Damn you! Stop playing the game from... No, you can play the game, turn the station on, and continue playing.
Yeah, it's been nuts. The internet is silent.
That's true.
See? The 11th of the 11th of the 11th is the end times, because everybody's not going to do anything.
Yeah, I think they actually plan on completely outselling Oblivion in the first couple of weeks of sales.
I wouldn't be surprised if they've done it already.
Yeah. I'm probably sure they probably outdid it on pre-orders.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't buy Oblivion on release day.
Yeah, me neither. I got it yesterday.
I bought it beforehand.
No, I just walked out to the store. They had one copy left in stock, and I walked out with it. It was no hassle at all.
You walked to the store? Jesus Christ.
Well, I walked into the store. Yeah. I drove to the store.
Yeah. Well, you see, I like Amazon's $1 release date delivery, so I didn't have to leave the house at all this weekend.
This is a good point.
I went to the door, opened it in my pajamas, quick grabbed the case, and closed the door.
Wow, did you put pajamas on special?
Yeah, I didn't feel like going out in just my boxers.
Oh, it's a good time.
It was cold.
It's that time of year. Yeah, you risk some shrinkage.
So, let's see. Well, all three of us have played, and one is playing Skyrim as we speak.
No.
Wouldn't even close it for the show.
No, it's actually minimized right now.
Ah, but it's still running.
Oh, yeah. And I may play it a little bit throughout the show.
Game.
Yeah.
Let's probably actually talk about the game itself for those not in the know. Which I still don't know who that would be. Skyrim is set in Skyrim, the Nerd homeland, or Nordic homeland, not the Nerd homeland. That's a different area in the world.
You know, just to keep things simple.
Yeah, it's the fifth Elder Scrolls game, which is kind of scary because now I realize I've played all of them.
Soon there'll be a game so you can play any spot in the world whenever you want.
Well, I tell you what was funny. In Oblivion, the previous one, you had the whole arena thing. Mm-hmm. The first game was Arena.
Right, yeah.
So that side quest in Oblivion was basically the first game.
Yep, pretty much.
The first game was just an arena.
Yeah, well, they didn't have any of the technology in place, did they?
They
had Arena, Daggerfall, Morrowind, Oblivion, now Skyrim.
Yeah.
Right.
So, let's see. So it's you're playing in the Nordic homeland, and like we said before, dragons start showing up, and you're a dragonborn. Not too sure exactly what that means. We have three listeners.
We can't really get into too much detail on what being a dragonborn entails, because that involves spoilers.
Yeah,
we don't want to spoil the game for anyone who hasn't played it or hasn't got as far as us.
Okay, those who haven't played it yet, here's the ending.
Yeah, right. No, not happening.
Well, that and I haven't beaten it yet, which will probably take a while, like any other one.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Just a wee bit. And once you beat the main storyline, there's always the whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is currently doing my head in, because I'm so OCD about side quests. Like, I have to do all the side quests, and the game just keeps giving them to me.
Yeah, yeah. You really just can't do all the side quests.
Yeah. Should we go into how that works?
God, yes, please.
Since you apparently know more about that.
I'm the expert here. Yeah, it actually generates side quests as you go. So you have the different leaders of the different strongholds will always put out bounties constantly. If you go into an inn, you can ask about rumors and they'll tell you about possible side quests elsewhere, or they'll give you a bounty. Let me think, there are other types of quests as well, like store owners will request certain items that you have to go and find. You'll get given information about dungeons you haven't emptied and told to go and collect something from there or kill someone there.
Yeah, got one that needed to get a sample from a mine, and when I got there, the mine was infested with spiders.
Yeah, that happens. Let me think what else. The thing is, as well, there are miscellaneous quests, which are the generated ones, and then there are actual side quests, and the side quests change.
Wait, change?
Yeah. What they do is each quest has a set of dynamic variables, basically. So let's say you have to do a quest, you have to go and kill someone, but that person's already dead. What it will do is it will put another NPC in place of that character that's already dead, based on who likes you and who doesn't like you. So you can't screw up a quest by killing someone.
Ah, so there's no strings of fate.
Although there are some characters in the game that you can't kill, because it interferes with the quest.
Oh, yeah, so, the main storyline stuff.
Yeah.
So they stuck with the immortal, impertinent
people. But it's very rare now, as opposed to like Oblivion or Morrowind or something like that.
Yeah, where you just couldn't kill anyone.
Yeah, normally don't go in the murdering sprees in the game, so normally don't test that out too much.
Tell you the other thing as well, the quests you get, the dungeons you go in change. I don't quite know how they do it, because I played one character and I got quite far, and then I stopped and tried another character. I was curious about the character generation thing, so I tried to roll just a pure warrior character, which is actually really fun. Never done it before.
No magic?
Yeah, no magic at all.
Oh, wow.
Just using my Conan powers. Awesome. And yeah, the dungeons are different. The quest is exactly the same. It's the same dungeon in the game, but the dungeon itself is different. The layout's wrong.
Oh, really?
Never had noticed that.
And the enemies change as well.
Yeah, I haven't run into that. I've run into like different amounts of enemies in different areas, because I had just gone through one dungeon the other day with a different character, and I just went through again. And I kept like, okay, I remembered, oh, there's a guy around this corner. I go around the corner, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then like you go into a room that was empty before, and all of a sudden there's four guys jump you. So like it's it doesn't get predictable anymore. Even when you're just playing through like a second time, or you know, tenth time.
I'm really liking that because I thought because of the intro to it is obviously scripted and it's quite long, and I thought, yeah, that's gonna be a pain because every time you start a new character, you're gonna have to go through that, and it's gonna get so tedious. And the fact that it's completely different sort of throws that out the window.
So even just like on a pure like quest generation level, like the game is really like light years ahead of what they've come up with in the past.
Also, haven't really noticed dungeons being different, but no, some caves and that you clear out first occasionally, like the bounties you said, new one will come up and it will repopulate that dungeon with everything new.
Right? Yeah, it will repopulate it with whatever it is you're after. Normally bandits.
Yeah. Which is nice since the world doesn't end up being completely empty and dead after you cut through a chunk of the story.
I'll tell you what I'm enjoying as well is there's so many little details that I'm like, it still keeps surprising me. There was I was fighting vampires, which can resurrect dead bodies to fight for them. It's a spell you can learn as well. But yeah, I was fighting them. I killed a resurrected bandit, and he said, "Thank you."
That's nuts.
That's such a small detail. If I was designing a game, I never would have even thought of that. Never would have crossed my mind.
Oh, and you know, like, there's all kinds of other like little things that happen in the game too. Like somebody will be like fighting a dragon, and they just happen to be close to a giant's camp, and the giants are going to get upset by the ruckus, and they're going to charge in and like take care of the dragon, and then just like go back about their business. Yeah. And like, you know, just like little random events, like these interactions between different characters that are just completely non-scripted, but it really just feels like it's part of the natural world. It's like, I actually right now I'm looking at a GIF from Reddit where there's this giant chasing down somebody, and it looks like a dragon flies in out of nowhere and knocks this giant like 500 meters down the map. And yeah, like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you spot a giant fighting anything, it's just hilarious because they hit them and they fly off into the horizon.
Yeah, and if you fight a giant and out sufficient level, you will fly off into the horizon.
Yeah, you will. You will go hundreds of feet.
That's one of those things that everybody does the first time they play this game. They're like, "Oh, look, I can take one of those guys on. He doesn't look that tough because I just took one of those out in a village and it was easy." I think, anyways,
also, one correction. The first giant I fought didn't throw me off into the horizon. He literally stomped me into the ground. With a one-shot foot smash.
Yeah.
I managed to kill my first giant today.
Yeah, did you go like hide in a doorway that he couldn't get through?
No, I'm playing full warrior, man. I just rushed him.
Epic.
I used so many healing potions and so many poison potions. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
The only giant I've killed was one that was, I got the help of an Urka village that was nearby to save my ass.
Yeah. Actually, that's something I like as well, is if you get attacked by a dragon and you're near a stronghold or a village, where they'll fight with you and they'll comment on it.
Yeah.
The NPCs are just done so much better than in Oblivion. In Oblivion, they felt so wooden.
That, and also I think on one of the videos I saw for the creation of it, they went from like 10 people doing voice actors to I think there were 80 plus.
Well, you know, that
don't quote me on the numbers, but
that was one of the biggest, like, well, one of the bigger complaints that I saw a lot of about the original Oblivion was the horrible voice acting.
Where Pip would switch voices halfway through a conversation.
Yeah. So it's good that they actually listened to their fans on that one.
Mm. Well, it is like they took Oblivion, they looked at all the problems it had, and they just fixed those.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, you know, like, I actually skipped Oblivion. because I had played it for a while at a friend's place, and it felt too stiff. You know, it didn't feel good or anything. Like, I played Morrowind, and that just was awesome. But, you know, there's something about Oblivion I just didn't like, but I don't get that at all with Skyrim. Like, just the reality, like, once again, it's like the little things. Like, you know, I got caught stealing, and I ended up, like, killing this guy. And, you know, I left, and I came back, like, a couple of weeks later, and his body's still sitting on the street. Because I think everything's just persistent. Like, just everything I've ever killed, I've been able to come back, and its body is still there. Anyway, so I bend over, and I check out what loot's on the body. And his daughter comes up, and she's like, "Oh, I hate you, mister." She's like, stop doing that. And, you know, like, just, you know, like, even though it's like 2 weeks later, I come back and I go start digging around the body. This kid still is able to, like, run up and, like, bitch at me for it. You know, like, just little stuff like that.
So he killed the child's father and looted the body later.
Yep.
So you're playing a good guy then.
I was. It was like the first village I got to, and I was running away from guards.
Yeah, Suave is the champion of the people. But talking about immersion factor, one of the main things I notice is literally the world itself. Don't know about you, but yeah, just wandering around, it feels like a real world. See bugs and that flying around, non-hostile mobs like deer and rabbits.
What I think is interesting as well is they've added all these new elements and they all have a purpose. Mm. Like the butterflies flying around, you can catch the butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can use them for alchemy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Same with bees and...
Yeah, there's fireflies and dragonflies, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually really liking the alchemy so far. You know, it's not Morrowind caliber alchemy, but that's kind of game breaking, so that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but they also have, well, blacksmithing, which I greatly like in this.
Oh, I'm loving blacksmithing.
Yeah,
I got one character up to like about level 10, and I just started a new one, and I just now found out that you can mine ore. The entire time, I was running around like stealing bars of metal from people because I couldn't figure out where to mine or to get any ore or anything like that. And it's just like all over the ground, and I somehow managed to miss it the entire first playthrough.
Yeah,
that's a special kind of dumb.
Now remember,
have you worked out you can put armor on yet?
Shut up.
If you press W, you run forward.
But, you know, like, there's a lot of little things that a lot of people don't know about. For example, you can, you know, like, when you pull up your favorites for your abilities, if you mouse over one of those and just press a number on the keypad, that hotkeys it.
Yeah,
That's not explained anywhere in the game, really, and a lot of people skip that over. Or even just, like, holding Alt to sprint.
Yeah, I found that out. It's like,
yeah, I had
must get away from fire breath! Too slow! Why? God, why?
If I had one complaint, it would be that the interface is obviously very much designed for a controller.
It is. Mm. It really is.
It works with mouse and keyboard. You just have to work out what you're doing and maybe change some key bindings. Because Alt is not sprint. It will never be sprint. That's shift.
Yeah.
And also, it's not really that it's... Yes, it is set up for a controller, but it's... There's no... They completely redid everything and have no say-so of, here, this is what does what.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I've always been one to bitch about them holding your hand throughout the, like, first half of a game. So I'm glad they've moved away from that. But I still kind of, I like the idea of just, like, maybe popping up a tooltip at some point saying, like, you know, in the intro there's a part where you have to run and you have to hit Alt. So then it just says, okay, hold Alt to sprint. You know, something like that.
Yeah, Papa Winter says, hey, bro, you can sprint with Alt.
Yeah.
Your game just got better.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it took me a slight hint from Tack to figure out one of the puzzles, but one of the things they don't show you is you can actually look at the items in your inventory.
Yeah, it took me a while to work that one out as well.
Yeah, me too. Because you look at the symbols on the walls, and that's in a certain order. I'm like, oh, well, that's what you got to do. And then it didn't work.
Why is this not working? Oh, wait. I can zoom in on objects and spin them.
Yeah, yep. So you look at the clue, and you know, what is it? If you have the core solutions in the palm of your hand, okay, that sounds like it should be really obvious. What the fuck do I do?
And once you do figure it out, it is retardedly obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just they don't.
If they just told you you could do that.
Hey, look, you're in your inventory. Did you know you can zoom in and look at your items? Something like that would have helped when you first went in.
They haven't actually explained on the PC version as well how to move items without picking them up.
Hold E.
Yeah. Never tells you.
Yeah.
But that's probably because they don't want people taking advantage of the bucket bug. Or it's not even a bug, just...
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, basically, if you... it's really difficult and it's not really worth your time, so I don't think it's going to piss anyone off. But, basically, put a bucket over somebody's head and they can't see you. So then you can steal stuff from right in front of them because there's a bucket on their head.
It's so funny.
Alternatively, you can like pick stuff up, carry it to another room, drop it, and then steal it.
Yeah, just like Fallout.
Yeah. I must be one of the Moro people. I actually stuff get knocked off a stand. I actually pick the stuff up and put it on the stand.
I don't know why they changed it, because I remember in Oblivion, if you moved an item that was being sold, basically that was seen as stealing it by default. Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they changed that to Fallout, and they've obviously kept that same theme going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which one thing that's nice from Fallout is they kept the same lockpicking method as Fallout.
Oh, yes.
I do like the lockpicking on this.
It's so much better than the original Oblivion lockpicking.
Yeah. And you know, it almost feels like there's a bit of finesse to it now. Just because, like, you know, if you just, like, jam A and D... You break your picks almost right away because you're holding down the buttons. You kind of just have to feather the key to... Yeah.
You have to wiggle it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was really neat.
Also, one thing that's nice is you can actually pick any lock from the beginning. Like, yeah. I've picked a master lock while really only being apprentice level. It just burned through maybe 8 picks to
find... Yeah. Minimum. Well, You almost need to be able to like draw on your screen where your pick was at so you can keep track of moving it, because it basically just gives you a much smaller target when it's a really high level and you're a really low level.
That and your picks break a lot.
I basically do it by looking at the little dents on the lock and measuring it by that.
Excellent.
But yeah, oh, the other thing that's really changed for an Elder Scrolls game is there's no character creation screen.
Yep. Yeah.
You pick a race, and you go.
Yeah, and they've also got, like, they've really simplified that down a lot. Like, you know, you're no longer dealing with, like, strength, intelligence, dexterity, any of that stuff. It's, like, magicka, health, and stamina, and your perks, and that's it.
I can see a lot of people complaining about that, but I can see why they did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it definitely opens it up to a much wider range of players. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're not used to RPGs or anything and you hop into a game like this and you're presented with a screen where you have to do all of these different values and you don't know what the hell one of those does or how it impacts your abilities, you're going to make a really crappy character and not have a lot of fun at the game. So, you know, it's all fine and good for LSRPG players, but anybody else, it's essentially going to force them to make a shitty character.
At least
their first one. Yeah. Like,
it does give you more direct control over your character as well. Because, I mean, basically, if you're increasing your constitution, you're just trying to get more hit points anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're increasing your dexterity, that's going to put your stamina up. So stamina, it's just a different way of looking at it.
Although one thing I notice, stamina also increases your carrying capacity, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, stamina is sort of dexterity and strength.
Yeah.
But, you know, like...
Yeah. I just realized... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, more carrying capacity, while it's nice, isn't all that important, I find, anymore, just because you have fast travel.
I'm playing a warrior that uses two-handed weapons and heavy armor. Carrying capacity is a big deal for me.
Yeah.
I suppose so, but, you know, of course, there's, like, the... there's a rune that you can go pray at that gives you an extra 100 points of carrying capacity. So, you know, like an extra 100 plus like being able to just pop out of your dungeon and quick travel to the closest town to unload and then quick travel back. It's not that big of a problem. I could see it being a huge problem if you had to manually run back and sell your stuff. But
because if you fast travel everywhere, you miss a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely do. But, you know, like... If just to like go drop off your stuff quick, it's kind of necessary.
Pretty much the only fast travel I do is, I just looted several dungeons. Back to the house.
Back to storm the shit.
Which, yeah.
I like some of the stuff out of the house as well, like the weapon racks and things.
Those are nice.
That's good. I wish there were armor stands. It's the only gripe I have.
Yeah, I do like the bookshelves. Why you only put books on the top shelf, I don't know.
Oh, no, you can put books on the bottom shelf as well. You have to specifically select the bottom shelf.
I've tried selecting it, but it never seemed to select.
Huh. I know it's definitely working in my alchemy laboratory.
Yeah. Which, yeah, alchemy is quite nice, since pretty much to... learn how to do anything, it's all trial and error.
Yeah, and you have to sample the ingredients to find out what they do. Which I think is hilarious.
What does this poison do? Yummy.
Yeah, I'm going to eat some vampire dust. Nothing could go wrong.
Oh, some nightshade. That's perfectly healthy, right?
Here's some human flesh. That's not creepy.
I generally try not to cheat with any of these games, but I do admit that I definitely pulled out the tablet and had a big list of alchemy recipes sitting next to me while
going through my
inventory of supplies.
Yeah. Only recipe I dug up was Keo Disease, since I don't know about you two, but I tend to get diseased all the time. And you don't get notified until somebody goes, "Hey, you look sickly."
Yeah, I actually didn't realize that's what that meant. And I played from like level 1 through level 10, and every time I saw an alchemist somewhere, they're like, "Hey, you look sick." I didn't realize that I was actually sick, so the entire time I was playing, I had some disease that I didn't even know about.
You press P and check your active effects, and it will tell you that you're sick.
Well, it doesn't really give you a notification when you get sick like the other ones, but
get a little pop-up in the top left. You have contracted whatever.
But although
rock joint or something.
Suave. Although one thing that works for most people, although the alchemist in White Run will always say you look sick.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's their thing.
Right.
But if anybody else say you look sickly, like I've had a guard come up to me and say, "You don't look so well. You should probably get that cured before you spread it."
Gotcha.
Although I do like that where people actually interact with you differently if you're sick.
And not only that, but like racism and stuff like that gets involved. Like if you're the wrong race and you come into an area that's racist against your race, they're going to like call you names and shit like that.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
The NPCs just have so much character to them now.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't come across that too much since I'm playing a nerd. So,
The kicker for me is you can make friends. If you do some jobs for someone, they'll be your friend. You can get them to come with you.
Yeah. Oh, and like the whole marriage aspect and everything like that. You can even have your wife come fight for you and go get herself killed, I think. Well, you know, it's easier than divorce.
Yeah.
I haven't even got a wife yet. I'm too busy being a Conan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't seen a lot of benefit to it, just because I'm not ready to settle down yet.
The only follower I have is the one you get gifted from the story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you become the Thane.
Oh, yeah. I hear she's really, really powerful.
Well, the main thing with her, she will not die unless you strike her.
Oh, no, she'll die.
She can die.
Oh, yeah.
I've had her die a few times now.
She only falls to the down to one knee and...
Nope. Trust me that she dies.
Yeah,
I've been reading about people bitching left, right, and center about losing her.
I've had her take
quite a while. She does usually go down to one knee, but occasionally she has died for me. It's a bit strange. I'm not sure how.
Hit her by accident when she's down on one knee.
No, it seems to be fighting particularly powerful enemies.
Yeah, because so like basically
they go over the damage cap or something.
Yeah, like once she hits like let's say 5 hit points, she'll go down to one knee. But if she has 6 hit points and somebody hits her for 7, then she's gonna die.
So it's, if you're in over your head, you should probably go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thankfully the console's still there.
Yeah.
I had to resurrect her once.
Oh yeah.
Well, I went to a Dwemer ruin and ended up fighting one of their really huge guardian things,
which completely
mutilated me.
Yeah, kind of stayed away from those since last. I remember in other games, yeah, their machinery is not friendly.
There's so much cool stuff in there, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a trade-off.
I do like as well if you collect the. The bits of scrap metal laying around, you can actually turn them into dwarven ingots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's nice. But they're really, really heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a trip might get you 3 ingots if you're lucky.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's no good.
Which, although, I've only kind of explored one half of the map so far. And, yeah, that's just pretty much running around for one day.
Yeah, I haven't even explored a quarter of the map yet.
By half, I mean just running around across the main roads, not actually scouring the land.
Oh, okay.
So, they have some very interesting areas.
You know, like, the overall map area isn't actually any bigger than Oblivion, or at least not much bigger. It's just, it's a lot of up and down. Okay, there you go. Yeah, it's just a lot of up and down, and it feels like it's bigger.
Well, it kind of breaks stuff up. Instead of, Oblivion, it was mountains surrounding pretty much flat land. This has mountain ranges throughout, and...
Yeah, landscape feels a lot more variable.
Yeah, you've got mountain ranges, you've got hills, you've got plains, you've got swamps. You've even got, are they not salt flats? They're like salt swamp areas.
Have you gone to the, or have either of you gone to the far east, right above Riften?
No, Riften's as far as I've made it.
Yeah. To the north of Riften, there's kind of a, don't really know what to call it, but it's an odd spot I've ran through of late. It's pretty much kind of a tectonic or thermal active area, which is kind of heavy fog, and it seems
I've seen a few small patches like that.
Yeah, it seems practically otherworldly since the sounds in it are literally distorted, since pretty much the noises from the mammoths, and I think there was a dragon overhead, actually sounded more like whale calls from the distortion.
Okay.
It was very creepy.
Strange.
But yeah,
there's all kinds of weird stuff happens that game as you play it. Like, they've carried the random events over from Fallout. So you'll just have something random happen to you while you're traveling?
Yeah. Like, had a fugitive give me a magic item, then run off.
Yeah, I've had that one. And I'm not entirely sure what to do with it. Do I keep hold of it and wait for him?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to disenchant it.
Or, you know, like when...
He tells me to keep it.
Or somebody can take a hit out on you, and like an assassin will stalk you and take you down, or try to take you down.
Mm.
Or somebody like hire thugs to beat you up. I thought that was pretty neat.
And of course, there's the random dragon attacks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which...
And sometimes they feel almost scripted, just like the way they show up.
Yeah, at like just the right moment.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently different types of dragons will fight each other if they encounter each other in the wild.
Yeah, that's not too common, though.
No, but it looks fucking awesome. See two dragons battling in midair. I'm just looking at some screenshots now.
A question. Have any of you had it where the dragon will just fly overhead and you can fire arrows at it, but it won't ever attack?
Yeah.
Hasn't happened to me yet.
That would be because you're near a dragon lair. So you have to actually go to its lair to kill it.
Mm. I was always confused at those, since it's like, why are you stalking me and not attacking? So it's pretty much the dragon of that lair and not a random one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is actually a scripted dragon.
Alright. Because I did come across the dragon lair. The dragons are easy. Just beware of there are other things guarding those areas.
Yeah. Oh, the random animal attacks. Jesus Christ.
Oh, the saber-toothed tigers?
Yeah.
Ugh. That is not fun. Or the ice troll.
Haven't
Yeah, or the regular trolls.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Although the... the snow... Saber-toothed tigers are annoying.
Yeah, and the frost wolves, too. But, yeah, there's, like, along the main quest, like, not very far along the main quest. You have to go up a mountain. I'm not going to say any more than that. But, definitely...
Yeah, that's more dangerous than it looks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
That it's like, oh, yeah, cool. It's just some stairs. And then you run into an ice troll, and he punts you, like, 200 meters down the mountain. And
that's what summoning is good for. Here, take this thing.
And then run as fast as you can. Luckily, the pathfinding isn't the best for some of these mobs. You actually can manage to get them stuck behind rocks and then take off.
Although the pathfinding for the NPCs is quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like so much better than Oblivion. Sort of obscenely so.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe they're based on the same engine.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see here. I was going to say something else, but now I forgot. Oh yeah, some of the other creatures definitely look a lot nicer. Like some of the elementals look far superior than before.
Oh, the animations for them are so nice.
Yeah, have you seen any of the fire elementals, Rob?
Not yet. I just found the flame Atronach. Atronach?
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce
that. Well, that's what I meant. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I found the spell, but I didn't have enough magicka yet to cast it.
But yeah, pretty much they look like they're living fire.
And they actually move around as opposed to last time where they just float backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Well, even just looking at like your the first conjuration spell, what is it, like summon familiar or something like that?
Wolf.
Yeah, the ghost wolf.
Even the ghost wolf looks awesome. Just like the little tendrils of energy that flow behind it, and you know, just little effects like that.
Oh, the game is very, very pretty.
So pretty. Have any of you came across the Ice Wrath?
Just their claws.
Oh, Ice Wraith, yeah.
Wraith.
Yeah, I've only found their claws.
Those, first time I came across one of those, they are pretty much, they literally look like a floating snake skeleton of ice.
The first time I came across one, I couldn't make out what the hell it was. I thought it was a spell. I was trying to look at who was casting the spell at me.
Well, it was attacking you.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the first time I came across one was while I was fighting a saber-toothed tiger. It's like, hey, I just killed this. Why is there ice coming at me now? But yeah, The game is, like you said, Tech, very pretty.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really impressive? It's only about 5 gigs.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's tiny for what it is.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I wonder how they managed to pull that off. I guess
I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, yeah, a lot of it must just be generated on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you could pack the... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bravo. Wait,
a modern game will kill that on code and texture.
Yeah.
One little side thing, something I came across, which might be a spoiler. It's a small side quest thing, well, miscellaneous event. Have any of you been challenged to a drinking contest?
Oh, yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. Have you
been to any good temples lately?
Apparently not.
Yeah, afterwards, blackout and, hey, how did I get all the way across the other side of the world in a temple?
That was funny.
Was your kidney missing?
No.
You wake up and you have to clean the temple and apologize.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Although I reloaded since literally I was actually trying to do something on that side of the map and didn't want to fast travel.
Right.
Because I don't know about you, but yeah, I keep fast travel to a minimum. If I'm going someplace, I will get there by foot or by hearse and not even use the paid carriages.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the way I'm playing is I'll travel to the main cities and I'll only fast travel between them.
Yeah.
That's right. Just because of sheer time.
Yeah. It does take a lot of time to get anywhere otherwise, because you keep running into stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff keeps happening.
Okay.
I keep giving quests.
And some really other awesome things that I just wanted to talk about real quick. Atmospheric effects. Like you're on a mountain and you see like the snow blowing off the side of the mountain. Or like the way the clouds form in the lee of a mountain. And like just like they would in real life. Like it's not just like randomly generated clouds that are kind of flowing through.
Quick question. Have either of you looked up and saw the Aurora Borealis in the night sky?
Yes.
That thing was beautiful.
And like just the way the weather is actually reflective of the terrain. It's not just random or anything like that. Like that just boggles my mind. I've never seen that in a video game before. And one other thing I wanted to mention, dual casting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yet
dual casting dual wielding
is in.
Yeah.
With lightning.
Everybody wanted dual wielding in Oblivion.
Also, yeah. Not just magic, but dual wielding swords is
you can wield a sword and magic.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice because you can use them both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, you can supercharge magic by casting from both hands. You can attack faster with two blades, a blade and a shield.
Yeah, or what I was doing, because I was playing like a dual melee and magic class. So what I was doing was I was having my healing spell on one hand and just a sword in the other hand. Just running up to people and hitting them and healing at the same time.
I can see that being useful.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Let's see, is there anything else we didn't cover?
Well, the thing I also enjoy about it, one of the first things I noticed, is that it actually feels like the things you do make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the world will change as you do things. As opposed to in Oblivion, where you did something and it didn't really make any difference.
Yeah.
Apart from people would say, you've done it.
Yeah, and if you help somebody in a quest instead of them just going back to the way they were before the quest afterwards, they actually act nicer to you. Or worse to you if you, depending on how you finish the quest.
Yeah, and like I said, you can actually make friends with people.
Yeah.
Like, I think in the first village you go to, which isn't a spoiler because the whole place is kind of designed for you to play around with and learn what you're doing. But the, oh God, is it the wood elf woodcutter guy? There's a small side quest to get him to be your friend and he'll follow you around.
Hmm. Never actually did that.
Yeah, or you can you can do the quest a different way and you get to be friends with the bard instead.
Okay, cool. I haven't seen that one yet.
So is this that first little small village you come across? Yeah, I pretty much went...
with something, I think.
Yeah. After I stopped there, I just kept going.
Oh, there's a few quests there.
Yeah.
One complaint of mine about the game is how the horses always just charge into battle. There's no way to tell them to stand still and stay the hell out of danger.
Yeah, and I was kind of hoping they'd have some horseback combat.
Yes. Yeah, it actually feels kind of awkward getting on and off a horse. Mm-hmm. And,
I remember I was reading an interview with the designer, the guy, not his work. And he was saying they were kind of in half a mind to just take the horses out completely.
I can understand that, because they do feel a little bit clunky.
Yeah. The problem was they were saying they were going to take them out unless they could make them perfect, and then everybody complained that they definitely wanted the horses in the game.
Yeah.
So they didn't have much choice.
It's pretty nice to have a mount.
Yeah. Well, that in a medieval world, why would there suddenly be no horses?
Yeah.
Mm.
And just from a pure gameplay's perspective, I could understand them taking it out if it gave you some sort of like travel ability, like, you know, extra 50% run speed or, you know, something like that that you could get. But
let me ride a dragon. Let me ride a dragon.
Oh,
that would be sweet.
Please. You know what? I always bitch about DLC, but that is some DLC that I would pay for.
I don't know about you guys, but on the Dragon Reach Keep at Whiterun, have you ever gone back up to the far... There's kind of that open room with a balcony that they have a table in? Or have you not gone back?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, there's the throne room. You can go up the stairs on the side and there's a door in the back.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know about you guys, but the way the room's set up, it literally looks like a stable for a dragon. Since there's a giant, well, in the middle of it, there's a giant, what's the oxen thing called? That's the giant wooden plank thing.
I have no idea.
That's a yoke, or?
Yeah.
A yoke? Yeah.
Yeah,
it pretty much looks like a giant one of those suspended with chains and more chains designed to hold it down. With a giant open to the area that's big enough for a dragon to come through. It's like, why are these people using a dragon stable for a dining room?
I know what that is, actually. If you bug people about the history and lore, the whole idea, the reason it's called Dragon's Reach, that building, is because there was a dragon in there before.
Ah, so that is the... So it's not my imagination.
No, there's something to do with the original founder of the village and some hero who kept a dragon in there. So that may be foreshadowing for the storyline, I don't know.
Yeah. That would be nice if you could stable a dragon there and use
it. Would be bitching. It would be if it was the same dragon that saved you in the beginning.
That'd be awesome.
Because that thing was pretty.
Yeah. Oh. That'd be so awesome. I bet you the engine can't handle it or something like that, though. They're going to come up with a reason why it isn't possible.
But again, DLC.
Yeah.
I don't... Horse armor, I didn't buy. If you have a dragon mount, I will pay for that.
Yeah, the horse armor was something like $2. Like, I would happily pay $2 for a dragon.
Oh, I'd pay like 10.
Well, but can I be your bank manager?
I think they'd at least have to add a few quests of you getting the dragon.
Yeah, that's kind of the direction they went in with the DLC in the end. You have to bear in mind, they sort of started out doing DLC when it wasn't really a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the done thing. DLC was an expansion pack for a game.
Yeah. Which they
say... Yeah, they went about it in a different direction.
Yeah, which the way they did it, I liked. There was the small stuff you can buy, which just small groups of quests, odd houses you can get.
Yeah,
but they still had a large expansion that added a whole new world or section to explore, which if they do that again instead of just small stuff or the $10 add-ons...
Yeah, if they do the DLC the same way they did it in Fallout.
No, well, Fallout is okay. I was thinking more of the Oblivion. Because that Shimmer and Aya expansion was an actual...
Oh, that was a killer expansion as well. That was the reason to play Oblivion.
If you give us small stuff and a big thing like that, yeah, I'll buy most of your DLC.
Hell yeah, as soon as I have a sale on Steam, I'll buy it.
Awesome.
So, yeah. But again...
I also, I do like that, because when they release DLC, it tends to be on sale for a while.
Yeah. And yeah. Don't know about you, but yeah, for what I've played, I'm not really that far anywhere in the game.
No, I still feel like I haven't done bugger all, and I've done so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I'm running around in full dwarven armor, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface of the damn game.
I've just started been getting, what is it, elven armor.
Yeah, I kind of got an advantage on the armor because I really, really grinded at blacksmithing. I can start making orcish armor now.
Yeah, well, it's pretty much... Well, you're going heavy. Elven is pretty much the dwarven version of light.
Yeah, it's the light version. It's for little girly men.
Hey, I like to move quickly.
Yeah, even when I played a magic user, I ended up in heavy armor. Because heavy armor.
Is there any... Like, anything stopping you from using heavy armor as a mage? Like, is there any detriment?
No. No, you get the perks with the mage, though, which actually kind of reduce the usefulness of heavy armor.
Because
you get mage defense, which increases your defense if you're not wearing any armor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Pretty much it's designed for no armor. And
most of the mage stuff is just clothing with no armor bonus.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much enchanted clothing that increases your magic.
Yeah, you sometimes get some heavy armor with that, but it's not very good.
Right.
Yeah. So, also, some of the... Which we haven't really gone across too much is the perks for leveling up.
There's actually some very nice perks.
Yeah. Well, like, the light armor, it's you can literally make it so you weighs nothing when you equip it.
Yeah, you can do that with the heavy armor as well, but that's a much higher level perk.
Yeah. Then yeah, it's everything from you're in a class of magic, so apprentice levels will be cut in, the mana cost will be cut in half at a certain level if you can perk.
And of course, there's a dual wielding perk for overpowering the spell. Some of the perks leech into each other.
The overpower one is bugged for the spark spell. and it actually just burns through your mana faster with no extra damage.
That's what you get for not carrying a big sword.
I'm sure they'll fix that in a patch, and I think it works for all the other spells. It's just that one.
But yeah, a lot of the perks also sort of borrow from each other. Like I say, with the some of the magic stuff where you get the mage defense, so you get bonuses for not wearing armor. Whereas I think it's sneaking, where you get perks which give you bonuses for light armor. And that kind of thing. Or, heavy armor actually gives you perks for unarmed combat.
Because the armor class...
Yeah, the armor class of your gauntlets becomes the damage of your fists. Which is, yeah, that's brilliant.
Which, first I was kind of didn't spend too many of the perks, but it's just looking online at that. Pretty much for the level of it, they were saying that average players will probably get to around level 50.
Right.
But you can max out at probably 70 plus, theoretically.
Oh, yeah. I think the max is 82 if you get everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it's basically the rule of diminishing returns.
Oh, yeah. There's stuff like, as well, if you max out one-handed weapons, why are you going to go with two-handed weapons?
Yeah.
Or if you've maxed out shields, two-handed weapons are pointless.
Yeah.
Which,
You max out heavy armor, don't bother wearing light armor then.
Yeah, and like, the reason why you're never going to get that high is because, like, as you play the game...
afford the good weed.
Well, no, as you play... yeah, pretty much. As you play the game... you're going to be leveling up, like, you know, let's say 10 different abilities at the same time, because, you know, you're doing all these different things. But once you get up to, like, around level 50, you're going to really going to have to go and just do, like, one at a time.
Yeah, you're going to have to nickel and dime.
Yeah.
Thing is, as well, is once you get to a high level, you can level up the skills that you have as sort of minor skills. Yeah, things like if you're a warrior, your sneak skill and your lockpick skill, and it won't give you a level up.
Right.
Because it won't give you as many points towards your next level. Whereas if you leveled up your major skills, which are the ones at the high levels.
Right.
So whatever is the highest is, gives you the more points for leveling?
Yeah, basically the higher level the skill is, the more points go towards your next level.
So that's why it never seemed to be a steady amount per level in a skill.
No, it starts off very quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you will burn through levels first.
And fortunately, I kind of max out most stuff since, at least with magic, if you just have the spell, get a decent level spell, just keep casting it.
Yeah.
The only one you can't do that with is destruction. Because you have to actually hit an enemy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I normally just switch out, use destruction offhand when I feel like leveling that.
Right.
Oh, when I'm fighting something that's weak against an element.
Right. That is the one thing that I'm missing out on being a warrior, is I haven't got any real elemental attacks. I have sword and sword.
You need magic sword.
Yeah, if they're not weak against sword, I'm fucked.
Although, I also
Can't you get enchant your blade or something?
Well, I haven't got an enchantment skill.
All right. Are there scrolls or anything?
Oh, I've used a few scrolls. And I think I've used some very basic healing spells, because you start with one. But yeah, basically, if they're not weak against sword, I have to hope for damn sure they're weak against bow. Because that's all I've got.
Sword and bow.
Yeah, sword and bow. And lots of potions. I can poison them.
That's useful.
It's handy, although it seems a bit strange when you're poisoning a spider.
With its own venom?
Yeah. It never seems to work out too well.
So Let's see here. Oh, yeah. One thing I kind of skipped with the blacksmithing. You can actually upgrade the quality of an item.
Oh, yeah. You can upgrade it several levels as well.
Yeah. Because I currently can upgrade stuff to superior, which actually boosts the stats a lot. I think like my armor is increased by 10 or 12.
I'm actually wearing all flawless dwarven armor. Which is the highest level you can upgrade it to.
That's awesome. How many hours do you think exactly you put into the game?
Too many.
Yeah.
But I have started a new character.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, the blacksmithing is like my highest level skill because that's really easy to grind.
Yeah.
What I do is I kill everything. And then I take the hides and then I make leather braces. Braces use the least amount of stuff and they give you the most experience. Most bang for your buck.
Yeah.
So I just make a stack of braces and sell them. And then buy any leather they have and then make more.
Right.
I usually lose a bunch of money doing it.
I can just buy their too, which some of that's expensive.
Yeah, you can do that as well.
200 gold for Moonar.
That's why I stick to leather.
Yeah. Well, I need the Moonar for the elven armor I need to make. Since most mines don't seem to carry that.
I found a bit. It's not a lot.
Yeah. Which that is kind of like the ores are actually split up. Seems like more veins through the areas.
Okay, I just found something out in this that's just going to knock your socks off. So I'm sitting here and I just killed a dragon. And there's fire everywhere. And I noticed that it got really dark. And I'd been looking at a fire. And I look away from the fire out into the darkness. And my eyes slowly adjust to the darkness. So
I
haven't
seen that yet.
I was night blind because I was looking at light.
It does that from an indoor to outdoor transition as well.
Oh, that is so cool. It's so seamless that I never even occurred to me.
Yeah. They did a lot of nice things in this.
Yeah.
Just to small things that you wouldn't really think of, but really affect the immersion factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy crap atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. You're not kidding.
Although I'm still confused, I came across a small glitch in my game.
Mm-hmm.
You know that first dragon or named dragon you fight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you came across it, but for some reason, the skeleton followed me back to right run.
That's a little sketchy.
Whenever I load in the area, it will literally spawn the skeleton right outside the gates to right run.
Yeah,
that's kind of neat.
It did that to me with the giant.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
the scripted giant when you get there.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
He's just dead outside the gates.
Huh.
Well, the creepy thing is, when it spawns it, it occasionally spawns it underground, so you see the skeleton break out of the ground.
Yeah, the funny thing, though, spoiler alert, there is actually an undead dragon in the game.
Oh, so awesome.
Yeah, it made me poop a little.
So you've actually fought it?
Yeah, with my other character, which now, fuck, I'm going to have to kill it again. Oh, and I know this game. It's going to be different, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Because there are different types of dragon. Well, not just like the snow dragon and all that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dragons look like they do upgrade over time since there are ancient dragons too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are lots of dragons in this game about killing dragons.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it would kind of suck if it was always the same. They would get a bit easy.
Yeah.
I suppose so.
Have either of you been eaten by a dragon yet?
Not yet.
I got eaten by a dragon the first time I fought one.
Yeah. But didn't really eat me, but it bites you and whips you around and throws you.
Oh,
or did
wow.
it literally eat you?
No, I got eaten.
So
it
that
killed
was like,
me while it was biting me.
It was its finishing move or something like that, hey?
Well, it confused me because I know when I first killed the scripted dragon that you have to kill to find out you are the Dragonborn, it had a bunch of guard equipment on its dead body.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's a bit weird. No, it had eaten a guard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that's where that
I only found out when I had to fight one on my own, and it ate me.
That's nuts.
Well, that's what I get for trying to stab it in the face, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, definitely see this game eating up a lot of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Like, and without a doubt.
I think what's interesting is the scaling on the levels is completely different from what they did in Oblivion.
How so?
In Oblivion, everything scaled to your level.
Mm.
There was no fight you couldn't win in theory.
Right.
Whereas in this one, it sort of scales for close to your level. It seems to be sort of leaps and bounds.
Mm. Right.
So when you're low level, you won't fight anything that's too hard, really, as long as you stay along the main storyline.
But, yeah, there are areas that are still...
Wait, I'm like a level 30 at the minute, and like I'm breezing through stuff, and then every now and then something will come out of the blue and just destroy me. It will ruin my shit.
You're already up to level 30?
Well...
Oh, yeah. Blacksmithing, baby.
Yeah.
I can swing a hammer, but damn if I suck at swinging a sword.
So, I think I'm only around 15, 16. But again, I haven't sat and just grind one skill. Although alchemy, I'll probably be grinding up here soon since I have a chest full of alchemy equipment or ingredients that I have no clue do what.
Have you hit that point where you're walking along and you can't carry no more equipment? What the fuck is so heavy? It's all this food and alchemy ingredients and potions that I'm carrying.
Yeah.
Why do I have 500 mountain flowers?
It gets so ridiculous because you lose track.
Yeah.
That's not going to weigh me down much. It only weighs 0.1.
Yeah.
I only have like 1,000 of them. Yeah, I'll just pick more as I walk along.
Well, yeah. It regrows, so it's... I'm here, yeah,
there's no harm in taking more.
Although they still kept the known route doesn't respawn.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I love as well, there's no quest for it now. It's just there.
What's the known route?
Nernru. In Oblivion, there was this huge quest where you had to collect all the Nernru.
Okay.
Like, you had to get so many to get a special potion, and then you had to get more to get a better version of the potion, and so on. It was basically the quest you were never going to finish.
Oh, okay.
And now they haven't got the quest, but they've still got the Nernru about. It's just another alchemy ingredient.
Right.
Well, there are a couple people... Oh, I got a miscellaneous one that from Alchemist that wants it. But
yeah, that's a generated quest.
There's also a person in Skyrim that actually grows Nernroot.
Yeah, I did. I found that on my last character. I have no idea what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone who was farming it and needed some items to put in the soil or something.
Yeah, because she's the only one that actually knows how to cultivate it from the soil.
Yeah, which is good because otherwise there's a finite amount in the whole game.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you can raid her farm now and again, I think. I haven't done this in practice, but in theory it sounds right.
Right.
So far my favorite potion is wheat, and I think it's the purple hill mountain flower things, which is restore health and fortify health.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, that's awesome. Useful. And I found it by mistake.
Nice.
I can't remember what I used. It was the mud or the little crab shell.
Oh, the mud crab chitin.
And what was the other ingredient? I don't know, but it made a cure disease spell with that practically fortified most of your elemental stuff. It had fire resistance and all that in it.
Isn't it weird as well? You make a really good push like that, and then you're really reluctant to ever use it. Because there might be a very specific situation that you might need that specific potion for.
But I needed to be cured, and I didn't want to spend the 200 gold at the shop.
Let's screw that.
Makes sense.
The thing that does bug me, though, with the fast travel thing, is you can obviously you can only fast travel to places you've been before, including the major cities, which is great. Yeah, but the horse-drawn carriage that takes you to the capitals, mm-hmm. way too cheap.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is.
That needs to be like 10 times the price.
Yeah.
Especially since a hearse costs 10 times that price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think the cheapest horse you can get is like 1,000.
Yeah.
And that is a slow ass horse.
Mm-hmm. So, people who are listening to this, if you
haven't
noticed,
Skyrim.
Yeah. If you like Elder Scrolls, buy the game. If you don't like Elder Scrolls and like fantasy games fighting dragons, buy the game. If you don't like any of that, still buy the game.
Because everybody else is playing it.
Yes.
It's all you're going to hear about from gamers for a while.
It's true. It's
this and Saints Row.
Yep.
Which, for me, comes out tonight. We don't know about TAC.
Although, to be fair, there's going to be Minecraft released here in like a week. So
I don't think he'll put up much of a fight versus Skyrim.
There were dragons in Minecraft now. It was one. And it's kind of lame.
Yeah, but I'll definitely have to get back into Minecraft for a while.
Yeah.
So the other one that snuck up on me next month is Postal 3.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember seeing a picture of video for that.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I was getting really excited about it coming out. Yeah, I was reading up on it, and I was looking at the preview videos for the beta they were doing and stuff, and it looked really great. And then I haven't heard anything, and then suddenly it's coming out.
Huh.
Like, that just really blindsided me.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how that goes.
Speaking of Saints Row the Third, have either of you seen the trailer for the... what is it? Grand Theft Auto...
Oh, Grand Theft Auto 5, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it online?
Not as far as I can tell. It's
game
just a preview video.
Oh, no, I mean like... Grand Theft Auto is there multiplayer. Is it like MMO or is it still single player?
It just shows the setting and introduces you somewhat to the character.
Gotcha.
This is the first thing announced of it.
Although they did make a point that the video is in-game footage. They didn't use any pre-rendered stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. Which
it did look really good.
Yeah. Which that's one thing that I kind of like. Saints Row, you get your arcade-y, have fun, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your Grand Theft Auto, which is more your darker, realistic. Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre. It was after San Andreas when they did Grand Theft Auto 4. Grand Theft Auto started sort of taking itself a lot more seriously.
Oh, okay.
So depending on what you wanted, you either went Grand Theft Auto 4 or Saints Row 2.
Or both.
Yeah. I like both.
Yeah.
Right.
I enjoyed Saints Row 2 more, personally.
Well, that was co-op.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't take itself as seriously.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't really like the main character of Grand Theft Auto 4, to be honest. It wasn't very interesting. Niko Bellic. And his fucking cousin. I hated him so much.
Yeah. I think I normally started to mute him whenever he called.
Yeah. I don't want to go bowling.
How about darts?
No, I don't want to see any big American TTs either.
Or get drunk and hail a yellow car. Or a yellow car.
Oh, that game. If they got rid of that bit, it would be great.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you're not playing a Russian in this one, so...
There's been some rumors flying around that the main character might actually be an older Tommy Vercetti.
Oh, cool.
That could be interesting, but this is the internet, so it's probably wrong.
True. We can always hope.
Because Tommy Vercetti was a badass, man. Vice City was my favorite game.
Yeah.
The Grand Theft Auto franchise.
I think it. It's up there. I like the large area of San Andreas, but the character I didn't like.
Yeah, and the storyline was a bit...
Yeah.
But then again, Vice City was basically just Scarface.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can slate it for that, but on the other hand, that's a really good story.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was kind of just a take on the idea. You know, the Cuban gangsters and stuff.
Hmm. But I think we've gone over an hour here, so...
Yeah, kind of hit off track a little bit at the end there.
A little bit.
So review, buy Skyrim. Buy multiple copies. Vice City
is also good.
At least three thumbs up.
And don't forget an extra severed giant thumb up. I still don't know how that's an alchemy cream ingredient, but...
That's a giant's toe.
Oh,
yeah, and the worst part is tasting it the first time to figure out the effects. It's like, I do not want to put this in my mouth.
Yeah, which end do you start with, the stub or the toenail?
Because you just don't know where it's been.
You kind of wash it first?
Do you cook it?
I cook it.
Sauteed with some lime?
So that to cover up the taste and the funky smell.
So I'm pretty sure those giants don't know good hygiene.
Well, they herd mammoths around all day. There's no way that mammoth crap on your toes is good.
Well, I think we should end it there. See you next episode.
Bye-bye.